This person said, this is amazing because Marcel is explaining the discipleship model of Opus Dei. I hope I said that right. And the call for all people to become a saint.
Yeah, and I think it does resemble it in some ways. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá was certainly holier and smarter than I am. So if I'm coming anywhere near what a great saint of the church could come up with and then have his followers to develop, then that's great. I would say that Opus Dei, a lot of what they do is really about taking the day-to-day, moment-to-moment, especially in the work environment, and sanctifying it. And that's absolutely true. And part of what we need to be really working on personally. So take that as a compliment. Glad to hear it.
Okay, great. Marcel, are you familiar with the fifth national Encuentro process? Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So this has to do with that. In light of the fifth national Encuentro of Hispanic Latino ministry in the U.S., what can the prevailing Catholic culture, both English speaking and Spanish speaking, learn from one another in becoming and making disciples?
Yeah, good question. And this goes back to the fact that we can learn from others. One of the things, you know, when I founded Catholic Missionary Disciples, one of the founding principles that we had and one of the values that we hold is that we need to be constant learners who are collaborative with other people. And I don't mean just collaborative in like having a conversation, but actually working with people, because the work of the church is not a competition. There is no my territory, your territory, right? But there are different groups of people that we're probably called to serve in a particular way. And what I do may not be able to serve everybody in the best way. And part of this goes into, you know, some of our different cultural differences when we're talking about, you know, Latino versus Caucasian or our Black Catholics or whatever else, however you want to subdivide, old, young, you know, we could subdivide all day. But one of the things we have to understand is that every different subculture has something to teach every other. And what I mean by that is just like we can find value, you know, by going to a different kind of ethnic restaurant and say, this is good food, but it's different. In the same way, we could find that in different ministries, right? Mm-hmm. So what works though in a Caucasian parish or a Caucasian ministry may not always work in a Latino one or Hispanic one, right? And vice versa. And so we have to be discerning in what are the principles that always work, right? The principles of we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to accompany. We're all called to, but what does that actually look like on the ground is something we need to continually be discerning in. Okay, what can I take from this? How can I learn? How can I grow? And yes, there are certainly things we can learn from one another. And I think that starts with having conversations around what's working with the folks that you're serving. What is actually reaching them and why does it reach them and why do they respond in that? And then those who don't work in those particular communities need to be listening for, oh, okay, I get that now. And that really can be an avenue towards us learning, growing, and starting to work better together in a collaborative environment.
Okay, so speaking of how to reach people the best, this next question is in relation to this dynamic that we're living in with COVID. He mm-hmm. says, Marcel has some really good things to say, and I agree with him. I think he hits the nail on the head. What I find particularly difficult is how do you begin to do anything when you're being told not to gather with anyone in any kind of group, even a small one? So how do we embrace this in the time of COVID?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think it depends on your circumstances. You know, I don't know exactly how limited you are in Owensboro, in Kentucky. Let me just give you a couple of things that I've seen, though. You know, the creativity of, first, let's talk about the creativity of individuals versus the creativity of parishes. So let's start with creativity of individuals. When all this stuff started, I recognized, and I think everybody else really did too, that there were a lot of isolated people. And part of what we started to do as a family and as individuals and friends of mine, we started to reach out to people intentionally, making sure that those people who we knew would be most isolated, most lonely, knew that they were loved and cared for and asked them for help. So for instance, there's a woman who lives in our neighborhood. Her husband had committed suicide. We had literally within about a week after we had moved into the neighborhood. And we'd only been here for about 9 months. So then COVID-19 hits, and this poor woman's lawn is growing out of control. She's having to manage trying to, a home, kids, et cetera, without her husband, who's now dead. And in the midst of being isolated. And so we reached out to her and asked what we could do to help her, and can I mow your lawn, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? To know that there was somebody at least that we could reach out to. And I think that's the kind of just seeing the need in front of you and responding. And look, thinking about also on the parish level, think about those people at the parish. I heard earlier some of the ideas, I know that there's some who are doing things like phone trees and making sure that people are contacted. Well, that shouldn't have just happened in March and April. It should be happening now, right? Those people there's a lot of people who are still isolated. A lot of people who aren't going back to mass, who can't be a part of the normal parish life, but they need to know their value. So we as leaders need to make sure we're thinking creatively about how can we reach those people who need to be reached. How can we evangelize those who need to be evangelized, even with the current restrictions, right? People still need to be fed and clothed. People still need to know they're loved and valued. People still need to be communicated with and prayed for. And then how can we let others do, set them free to do that as well, not only us do it. And I think as parish leaders, we really need to be creative in that and start to think, okay, is there something that could work online? Okay, if not, then what else could we do either online or in person or in small groups or individually so that we're still doing ministry? And let's let the creativity flow and then set people free to go do it.
Okay, thank you. This next question is, what does evangelization look like? What am I supposed to do when I evangelize someone? Mormons literally have a script. Not saying we should do that, but some people don't understand what to do. What does evangelization look like?
Yeah, good question. Well, there. Let me give you. Look, I don't like self-promotion much, but this is what I do. is I train Catholic leaders on how to evangelize and disciple people. This is what I do, and the way in which I work is this. Okay, just FYI, I work over the course of 3 months of intense weekly small group meetings. So I take a parish leadership team, a diocesan leadership team, and we'll go for every week for an hour. We go over these kind of topics. How do we do this? What do we do? What does it look like? We work on pastoral skills and evangelization, discipleship. We work on principles. Then they're given homework. And then I do a one-on-one coaching with each person. So for instance, I'll train people, what are appropriate questions for different groups? So for instance, what I'm going to ask somebody who's a church-going Catholic is not the same questions I'm going to ask somebody who's agnostic, not the same questions I'm going to ask somebody who says they're Buddhist, and not somebody who says they're Protestant evangelical, right? They're different questions. So I train them in what kind of questions to ask. So for instance, somebody says to me, I'm atheist. Well, first things first, never accept a label in place of a story, okay? Never accept a label in place of a story. If somebody comes to you and says, like I said earlier, they're Catholic and they could be either of these things. Well, how do you figure out where they are? Well, you got to ask them questions. You got to listen. You got to assess. So what kind of questions would I ask somebody who says they're atheist? Well, did you know, the FYI, that around half the people who say they're atheists pray regularly? Well, what does that mean for somebody who says they're atheist? And are they truly atheist, or do they believe in some kind of higher power? Okay, with that in mind, I would ask, tell me about the God you don't believe in. That I believe is the best question I have for somebody who says they're atheist. Tell me about the God you don't believe in. And then somebody says something like, well, I don't believe in a God who would allow all kinds of evil things and tornadoes to kill innocent people. And and he just doesn't even care and he wants these bad things to happen. If somebody says that in response, I'm going to say, I don't believe in that God either. And I don't go any farther than that. And I don't do it with any kind of, over the top, in your face. I just kind of matter of factly say, I don't believe in that God either. And what am I trying to do is strike up curiosity in them so that they're asking questions about my beliefs so that I can witness to them, so that I can earn the right to be heard, so I can preach the gospel to them, to do these things. That's a skill. And then I send people out to go do that. Okay. And I say, here's your homework assignment. You go have a conversation with somebody who's not going to church. Okay. This can be a former high school, friend. This could be family member. I don't care. Find somebody, somebody who's not going to church, call them up, use me as an excuse and say, look, I'm doing this training at church with my staff. You know, I work at a church, and this bald guy who's training us made us, you know, talk to somebody who's not going to church. Can I just ask you some questions? I promise I'm not going to be in your face. Just need to ask you some questions. Kind of like an interview. Sure. You know, I've never had anybody that said, well, that person said I couldn't do it. So that you call them up and you start asking them these questions and you listen and you respond. And what ends up happening is people come back and they say, that was the best conversation I've ever had. You know, like this one woman told me, look, I talked with my adult son who hadn't been going to church in a decade, and I never understood where he was coming from. And now I do. And now I know how I can start to approach him and encourage him and invite him. And you know, that's evangelization. And we don't have to overthink it. Now, we also don't want to settle right there, right? We want to get into trying to encourage, invite, give examples, witness, allow, you know, opportunities if we have them to preach the gospel. Those things can happen. Now, like, you go buy my book, you know, but a book's not the answer. Like, I'll just, you know, The Contagious Catholic, what an unfortunate name. We named it before the pandemic. But look, that's not the answer either. The answer is you going out and trying it and maybe tripping and falling down flat on your face and failing and then getting up and doing it anyway, you know? So I got lots of stories about opportunities that I've had to evangelize. Some of them good, some of them not so good. You know, real quick, I'll tell you one. I was on a plane one time, one of my favorite places to evangelize because people can go anywhere. And I had just trained 70 nuns on how to evangelize for 2 days. Okay, so I spent 48 hours in a convent retreat center with 70 nuns, training them how to evangelize. And then I get on this plane and I clearly feel this call to evangelize. And I'm having this conversation with God, like, really? I just want to put on my noise canceling headphones and go to sleep because I'm tired. And he's like, no, just talk to this person. I was like, really? And he said, yeah, really. And so I just asked the lady next to me, hey, what you reading? And she flips her little magazine to me and then puts on her headphones. And I start reading through this magazine. It was about heal your chakra, crystal magic. You know, and I was like, are you for real, Jesus? Well, the woman closes her eyes and puts her head back while her headphones on and didn't wake up until literally we're getting off the plane, never took her headphones off, never allowed me to talk to her. And I thought to myself, why on God's green earth would the Lord really convict me to try to talk to this woman? And I realized it wasn't for her, it was for me, just so that I would say yes and be faithful to the mission without understanding that it's not always going to go my way. Sometimes you're going to have the rich young man who approaches you and say, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And you're going to say, well, follow the commandments. And that person's going to say, well, I do all these things. And you say, well, go and sell all you have to the poor and then come back and follow Jesus. And then that person's going to walk away sad. If they walk away from Jesus, they're going to walk away from you. So our job's to be faithful to the mission, regardless of the outcome, because we can't control anybody else's free will. So just a couple of thoughts there.
Already hit on this question a little bit in that answer. This is more along, I guess, the lines of pre-evangelization, but she says, those that identify as Catholic yet don't go to Mass or the sacraments regularly, how do we invite them and meet them where they are? How do we renew them on a personal level? And if they aren't going to church and not reading the bulletin, what are our options?
Yeah, and FYI, 75% of the people who actually take a bulletin don't read it. So don't rely on the bulletin, even for the people who show up and take your bulletin. So statistics tell us that bulletins are ineffective. I'm just pointing out the stats. I'm not saying don't do your bulletin or that it's a waste of time. I'm just telling you the statistics, okay? So those who identify as Catholic, don't go to Mass, don't have the sacraments regularly, right? First thing you got to do is identify. Who are they? Where are they? And can I build some kind of friendship relationship with them, right? Because before you get to invite them and meet them where they are, you got to know who they are and then go get them and go. You're going to, in other words, have to initiate. Look, I'm the kind of person who's the extrovert and I like people, but I also am somebody who really likes it when people like me. So, you know, if you guys could all tell me I did a great job after this, you'd make my day, that kind of thing. Because everybody likes to hear that stuff, right? Words of affirmation are one of my love languages. I tell my wife this all the time, but she doesn't know how to do it. She's very German. So, look, the fact of the matter is that it's difficult for us to sometimes get out of our own head, our own personality, and do those things. But you need to be the person who takes a risk. And I had to learn this the hard way because I really want people to initiate in relationships with me. Don't you? Don't you want somebody who's going to text you and say, hey, let's go to lunch. Hey, you want to hang out? Hey, can we talk on the phone? Whatever it might be, right? You want that kind of friend. be that kind of friend if you want that kind of friend. Be that kind of sister if you want to be that kind, if you want that kind of sister. Be that kind of son if you want, you know, that kind of mother. So that's what we I had to learn. And so I stopped waiting for others to initiate, and I started initiating more in relationships. And I learned I can find a whole lot of people out there who are Catholic and not going to Mass, or who aren't anything and not doing anything religiously. They're right in front of me. I just have to start to initiate those relationships and be a little bit more courageous. And that's where they're right there. They're all around you. I guarantee it. They're in your community. They're next door. They're in the grocery store. You're just going to have to find them and then start to initiate, I think.
This question comes from the chat bar from St. Mary Magdalene. What symbols, images, or parables would you encourage to enrich the prayer life of a disciple maker, specifically that speak to the challenges a disciple maker faces?
Yeah, I think that depends on the person. One thing that I don't want to say go do this, you know, go pray this way, go use this particular, you know, symbol or image or whatever. And the reason I say that is because not everything is going in the, you know, what you prefer is going to be something that somebody else would use well. What I mean by that is the church rarely gives us universal devotions in prayer. We have the sacraments, of course, we have scripture, we have these kind of things, but rarely do we have something, even when it comes to something as powerful as the rosary. And as somebody who praises the rosary every day, I'm not going to tell everybody else, you have to do what I do, because it works for me. So I'm going to kind of take the fifth on this one and say, I think that you got to find what is working for you at that time and that you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you into, because just like we have talked earlier about different flavors in the church, we have different spiritual flavors in the church, and it's okay.
Okay. Jeff, that's all the questions right now, unless anybody on the panel has any other thoughts or questions, or Marcel, if you have any other thoughts to follow that up.
Yeah, I just want to encourage everybody. We're all inefficient to the task. And this is where we have to realize that God has nothing else but human insufficiencies to work with. And that's okay, because he can do it even when we can't. And if you read the Gospels again, if you go read the New Testament again, I find it highly encouraging that the apostles are a bunch of knuckleheads and kind of, you know, messed up all the time. You know, like 50% of the time Peter opens his mouth in the Gospels, he says something dumb or messes up. And I really take comfort in that. So look, here's the thing. If we're fruitful, it's because we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, not because we have the perfect argument, the perfect program, the perfect plan, the perfect vision, the perfect words, no matter what it is. Honestly, what it is we've allowed God to use us in a powerful way so that he can do the heavy lifting. There are three people involved in any work of ministry: you, the other person, and God. There's only one that's perfect in those three. That's God. Don't forget that. But also remember, you're the least important of those three. Why? Because if you just do your job and get out of the way, it's up to the free will of the other person and the grace of God for somebody to change their hearts. And that means the pressure's off as long as we're faithful. And that's what I would say.
Boom.
More questions if you got time, Marcella. Just now okay. Came in.
I was going to mic drop on that, and that's what I can't now.
Oh, I'm sorry to steal your mic drop. It was a good one. It was a good. Hey, you got a mic drop there in the chat. Somebody just said amen right there. So I'm sorry I messed up the timing there. Let me back up. No. Pre-mic drop. Here's the question. But it's a serious one. How do we evangelize to those who have been very hurt by the church? Many have lost trust because of the clergy abuse or other things. So how do we evangelize to those who have been hurt by the church?
Amen. Good question. I got to tell you, I've had this experience. So let me tell you what's worked for me. When somebody comes to me and they're angry and upset at the injustices that have happened because our leaders have been unfaithful stewards of what they've been given, I stand with them in solidarity to say, I too am angry and upset. And I give them space to be angry and upset, Because if it doesn't upset you that there are clergy and bishops and lay leaders who have abused their authority and the God-given position that they have, then you aren't really listening to what God is doing in our church right now. Because he is raising up, he's purifying the church right now. And sometimes purification hurts because he has to burn off the other things. There's a winnowing that's happening right now in our church, and it hurts. And there are bankruptcies and closing and mergers and other stuff, and it hurts. And yes, there are even worse, there are scandals there where children and vulnerable adults and others were abused sexually and mentally and physically and emotionally and all these different ways. And that is an injustice that cries out to heaven. And I stand before you to tell you, it pisses me off too, excuse my language. And if we can say that alongside somebody else, it actually helps them to process and to say, you know what, it's okay that I have these emotions. Now the question is, what do I do with them? Where do I turn? Because only the Lord has the process of healing that every heart desires. Only the Lord can forgive us any sin. Only the Lord is merciful enough to be able to say, I can take this and make even the darkest thing a part of a great story of conversion and change and renewal. And that's what I believe God's doing in our church and in different people's hearts, if we allow him, only if we allow him. So if I've been hurt, I turn it over to God. And that's where I try to help other people to do the same thing. To say, yes, this is wrong. And yes, this is bad. And I stand with you and I love you and I'll cry with you if necessary. And I'll support you and we'll walk and we'll find resources to help you heal. But while we're doing that, let's not forget that God wants to do even something bigger than I could do for you. And really that's what we have to do. It's difficult, but that is how we evangelize, is by allowing people space to be able to say, this is wrong, and agreeing with them. Right. I mean, which disciple of Jesus Christ would not say that?
That's well said. And again, that's another good place to stop. So maybe that's a second mic drop. I don't know. But
and thank you, Marcel. And is your website is CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. If someone wanted to continue a conversation with you or see what you do with small groups and mentoring, what would they find that there?
Yeah. And remember, I work with Catholic leaders at parishes and dioceses. But we do have free resources, you know, like the blog and some other stuff on there. So yeah, if you want to go peruse or learn more, you can find that at CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com.
Okay. Well, we sure appreciate your time today. You've been a blessing to each of us and our diocese, and just love what you're doing. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Well, you'll be in my prayers, and thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks, Marcel. We'll let Marcel go, and I'm going to just share a little bit of a follow-up resource with us. Charlie has a slide he's going to put up for us. And kind of as I'm, you know, working with the Committee for Evangelization and Discipleship and Bishop Medley, trying to look at where we at as a diocese, this is a question that I have of a picture of where we're at. So I would just invite you to don't read too much into this. It was more of a last minute effort to kind of say, this is what I see and where I think we are as a diocese. But I need you all to affirm that this is where we're at, or to recognize your parish may be further along or may have more work to do than others. We have 78 different entities and we're all in a different place. We all have different needs. But this paradigm for me looks at this effort that we've been a part of as a diocese now for the last 3 years. This is the fourth event in 3 years. And the foundation of this pyramid is personal evangelization and discipleship. And I think that if you think back to 3 years ago, in December of 2017, the first gathering was on encounter. And it was all about encountering Jesus. And there were stories told of how people met Jesus. There were stories told by priests or by lay leaders in parishes of how they came to a deeper realization of who Jesus is in their life, even 20 years after being in ministry. So beautiful stories were shared. But the foundation of this pyramid is just this: personal evangelization and discipleship. My relationship with Jesus, how my daily prayer is my lifeline to that intimate living relationship with God. That I'm comfortable and becoming more comfortable as a disciple in praying with other people. And it's not just rote prayer, but that I can offer a prayer for someone whose mom is not feeling well that day and they want to pray for her, or she's having surgery. I'm comfortable doing that. I know my own faith story, how God has worked in my life, how I was called in my vocation to serve in whatever way I am as a baptized Catholic. I can reiterate, and share some of those stories about how God has touched me and how God is real in my life. And I have a good relationship with God and myself. There's this sense that as a disciple, to be fully a human being is to be a disciple of Jesus, knowing my own insufficiencies, my own charisms, my own weaknesses, and being very self-aware of what those are so I can be a whole person and be authentic and don't have to pretend I'm someone I'm not. That is, to me, is the bottom part of the pyramid. You can't move forward on this pyramid. We can't have parish transformation if each of us are not recognizing this need in our own life to be evangelized and to be disciples. And I think over these last couple of years, this process of encounter, accompany, community has really focused a lot on this personal evangelization piece, leading into the second pyramid piece is communal discipleship. And with staff and ministry leaders, and a lot of March 12th was about this. Tim Glemkowski talked to us a lot about the importance of mission and how we need to live this as a team of leaders in our parishes. And this next piece is, it has to be mission focused. There's mutual care and support for one another as leaders in a parish, as staff members, as ministry leaders. There's a real team orientation. We're all in this together. We need one another. We each have different gifts that come together on this team as a greater whole. Leadership is not just for one or two people on our team. Leadership is all of us need to be exercising leadership. We need to be praying with one another. Growth groups is an important piece, and I'll share a resource that what I mean by growth groups, but Marcel talked about that as well, just the importance of a group that he's a part of each week that meets for an hour for those very things of growing in, he mentioned them, prayer, virtue, mission, vulnerability, intimacy, and then accountability. Those are really important things for ministry leaders that if we don't have this part of the pyramid isn't strong, we're never going to get to parish transformation because you can't put a program or you can't just start doing a program or different things to say, this is how we're going to get to parish transformation. It has to be authentically built on these pieces, the foundation of personal evangelization and discipleship, then the staff growing together communally and in discipleship, supporting one another and ministry leaders. And this is where I think where we might be tempted to think, okay, we've done this four-year process. We've done these four events annually. They've been great gathering together as a diocese when we're spread out over 1,200 miles, coming together for the day, seeing people you don't get to see, having these great speakers come in and challenge us has been wonderful, but it's not over. These four legs of this living as missionary disciples is really just laying a foundation. And I guess I just want to just share from my own self, my own vision of this and where I see us going is we've got a lot of work to do. We've laid a great foundation. And the presenters we've had have been awesome. Some of them were members of Marcel's advisory group. We've had great speakers, great presentations, great challenge to recognize that we have to invest in a small group of people around us. And we have to be modeling this as a diocese. And that's the next part of this pyramid. The third is parish evangelization and discipleship. The staff, the leadership of the parish models discipleship. Christian community is a great focus where we're drawing people into relationship with one another. Daily prayer is stressed, praying with others. We empower all and we invite all into leadership so that everybody by the virtue of their baptism has a role to play in the life of the parish. Retreats are an important part of this, adult faith sharing groups. This is where we start to share the vision with our parishes and multiply the work of what we've been through as an individual and as a staff and ministry leaders now sharing it with the parish. So I see this being the work of the next several years, and in looking different in every one of our 78 parishes, although there are some really cool things that people are doing that could benefit us. And I wanna share with you a few of those thoughts before we leave today. The last part of this pyramid is parish transformation. This is, you know, and this could be very different. These are just words I came up with quickly, but we could make this better and have a better picture of what we're working toward. But parishes that are alive and vibrant, places that people have a passion to love God and they love others, and they're looking for how can we serve other people in this community? How can we be a church for all people here and reach out to all people? Where the parish is the place to be, where all are welcomed and all are loved. And there's a real sense of a positive spirit, energy, warmth that you can feel in parishes that are working toward this transformation. Many members are engaged and the parish is growing in numbers. I'm gonna ask Charlie to take away the slide for a second, and I'm gonna share a slide with you. I can't share while the others, there we go. I wanna share something from our website with you. And this is from our diocesan website. If you go onto offices and you come down here to evangelization and discipleship, then we have our four areas that we've been on a part of over this journey: encounter, accompany, community, and send. And each one of these have different resources. This is today, send. This is a document we put in here, personal and parish transformation follow-up. So this is a resource from today that you can access today. I actually have a couple things I need to add to it that I just didn't get in here, but this is the table of contents for this. There is a personal care and discipleship piece to it. Much of what Marcel was talking about was that each of us need to keep growing in our own relationship and be really healthy as individuals and as disciples, so that we can attract people. And by our lives, other people will want to be a part of what we're doing. So we wanna look at that. What does it look like to care for yourself and to be a disciple? This includes a personal discipleship reflection. So let me go to that real quick. These are some pieces about the importance of prayer, the importance of community as a disciple, special times of prayer, annual retreat, a spiritual director. Here's a personal discipleship reflection tool. So you can go to the website where I just showed you where to find this and take this little quiz. There's 10 questions. Rate yourself on each one of these and just see where you're at in your own personal discipleship right now. Then there's one for staff. And these aren't perfect questionnaires. In fact, after listening to Marcel today, I would change a little bit of the wording here on some of these questions, but at least it's a tool to indicate how healthy am I as an individual disciple? Where am I at where are we at as a parish staff in parish leaders? So to take this score, each of you individually, then you can combine them and see where your team says that you, and there's some questions there that to talk about how are we doing as a staff in modeling discipleship and living and modeling discipleship for our parish. Then there's some parish team development stuff, and a little bit further on there's something for parish evaluation and planning, and there's something for your pastoral council, parish council, or leadership reflection tool. Again, questions that will help you rate as a pastoral council, where are we at as a parish when it comes to some of these important pieces? So I'm gonna stop sharing, just let you know that resource is there. And then Charlie, if you could pull up the slideshow again and go to the first send resource packet real quick. And this is just, again, what I just showed you. It's at owensborodiocese.org/send. And I shared with you the table of contents, some key pieces there. If you want to create a survey in your parish, or you plan to introduce evangelization or discipleship, our office wants to help you. We have resources as a diocese that we don't want every parish to have to recreate this on their own. And some parishes have already done awesome things, and I'm gonna share a couple of those right now. So next slide, Charlie. These are some of the goals of the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship. As I go through them, I want you to look at them and say, how could the office support what we're doing here in our parish? Or how is this helping us as a parish? And then be in contact with us. How can, what do you need and how can we help you get there as a parish? So the first goal is to promote discipleship and excellence in pastoral leadership among all ordained, vowed religious, lay ecclesial ministers and parish leaders. So as you can see, this begins with our personal discipleship. So we want to work to create a team approach with a communal evangelistic and discipleship orientation among all of our leaders in the diocese. It's important that we build relationships of trust with one another and dependence on the Holy Spirit, so that in order to be the kind of diocese, the kind of parish we're being called to be, that we recognize we need one another. We need the resources of all of our 78 parishes, of all of the diocesan offices working together to help us grow our parishes. So this building relationships, trust with one another, with parish staff, with even between our offices and your parish, are all important things. One important tool that we would like to provide and do even in about a dozen parishes this winter, January through May, is to provide a parish staff retreat day for some of our parishes. And maybe your parish only has a couple people on staff. Maybe we can do two or three parishes together and have a 10 people go on a day-long retreat with myself, Danny's available, Charlie, maybe two or three of us to help your parish staff work through some basic things about discipleship and prayer together and having some conversations to help you move forward as a parish staff. And then also team building opportunities that we'll have in the future available. And some of those are in the resource booklet that are provided. So this is the first goal of our office. The second goal is to encourage, support, and resource parish culture renewal across the 78 parishes of our diocese. We know the decline in apathy over the last 20 years. It's been a continual downward slide. So we want to look at how can parish culture renewal happen in our parishes and what does it look like? It's going to look different in 78 different parishes, but how can we support you in taking a step forward? We're looking to promote a vision among all leaders for renewal so that we all of us have this sense of where we're being called, of what this vision looks like, of what does it mean to be an evangelizing, discipleship-making parish, and how do we promote this? How do we promote stewardship? How do we promote these things that are going to motivate people in our communities? And a lot of this is our own personal development and our parish staff development. We want to support that as an office, and we encourage you to invite us in to be involved in some of in creating a survey, these various things that are a part of this. So the next slide is to provide ongoing evangelization training and resources to help people encounter Jesus and experience the love of God. So as an office, we have all kinds of books that we would be happy to share with you. Made for Mission was one of them that was given out in March 12th. It was a great resource and tool. Julianne Stans has been in the diocese. Her Start with Jesus book is excellent. Unlocking Your Parish, Making Disciples and Raising Up Leaders with Alpha is a great little resource. Alpha Support, so that we're, as a diocese, have about a dozen parishes working at some place of Alpha. It might not look like we'd hoped it would quite the first part of this year, but hopefully by the fall, we'll be able to have gathered, and be able to move forward in this in different ways. And some will move forward with it online. There are some online Alpha. We also want to continue being able to bring diocesan speakers and presentations to our parishes via Zoom. And a part of our plan was this January to have a diocesan seminar that we could bring to a deanery to be able to share, but that needs more development. We don't want to just create a program or a one-day seminar for our parishes without greater connection with what are your needs. So I think there were some good things today that were presented that you might say, how could we redo that at our parish? And then that could challenge our committee to say, what could we do to put together a resource that would serve parishes in hearing what we heard today? What would that look like? And how could we do that in deaneries or in individual parishes to help you share this message more broadly with your parish? That's part of what our office wants to be available to do. We have six goals total. So the fourth one is coming up: to engage in the development and support of small Christian communities in every parish of the diocese for the purpose of ongoing adult discipleship, formation, and community building. This is an essential element of discipleship training and support. We'll be researching methods and tools for supporting small groups and parishes. Some of you are already doing great things in this, and we want to learn from what you're doing and encourage other places to benefit from it. We will partner with your parish to support your efforts or help you develop a vision for this in your parish. The next goal, and I'm going to share a couple examples here, to develop the evangelization discipleship website in our parish, in our diocese, to support the above goals and develop a best practices section for parishes in our diocese. So this is an example of the Hilltop Encounters at St. Pius the 10th. I was there a week or two ago with their evangelization initiative committee. And their organizer, Pat Jones, who's also a member of our evangelization committee for the diocese, shared a resource with me. In 2017, in May, they did a two-day live stream event. So 3 years ago. And it was about in the new evangelization. The purpose of the day was to brainstorm ways to expand the parish outreach as evangelists. And the outcome was that following the summit, they developed an annual Hilltop Encounter for staff and ministry leaders. So then in 2018, they had another event, a Hilltop Encounter. The purpose was to encourage a personal relationship with Jesus. So for all their leaders, ministry leaders and staff, they had this event. And the outcome was that they called it the first 15, uniting parish ministries in scripture and reflection at the start of each meeting by in every meeting having the first 15 minutes being scripture, prayer, and faith sharing. And then in 2019, the Hilltop Encounter, the purpose was to spotlight the six attitudes of accompaniment, to draw near, listen, witness, share, invite, and entrust them to the Holy Spirit. So those attitudes of accompaniment were shared with all ministry leaders and staff of the parish. And the outcome was a presentation of 25 pictures with commentary illustrating the six attitudes, each featuring a parishioner demonstrating that attitude. So that what a great process that they did with their parish to help share some of what living as missionary disciples had been for their parish staff. They wanted to share it with their parish. So we're going to work on getting some of those tools on our website so that other parishes can see, oh, that's what they did. That's how they presented it. This might even be the PowerPoint they used so that other places could benefit from this. Other examples would be the evangelization plan that St. Mary of the Woods has. You know, a dynamic pastor, staff, engaged community, and they have a very detailed plan for evangelization, are working away at it steadily to inform the parish and to equip them with the mission to evangelize as a community. So that plan we want to make available on our website. Alpha for RCIA inquiry process. Holy Name Parish in Henderson has been doing this now for a couple of years, and they have benefited greatly from their leaders going through this process initially and now making it available for RCIA inquiry. It's not the catechumenate of their preparation, but it is an introduction to a real living encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that gives a great foundation for them moving into the catechumenate. So again, a best practice from another parish. Saints Joe and Paul here in town just did their first large-scale alpha. Maybe now it's getting a little harder to finish up, but you know, 40 people gathering on a Monday evening to go through this process together in small groups. So there's a lot of good things happening, and we want to be able to share this on the parish diocesan website. And our last goal is to develop a communication and marketing tool, a plan to share. We don't want each parish to have to recreate tools for education and vision. We want the parish to be able to utilize resources from the diocese. So we're working on some pieces for this that we'll be sharing some standard tools to help educate and form your parish, but more to come over this next year. The last slide here is our vision as an Office of Evangelization and Discipleship. Our vision statement is that in response to God's love for us, every person within the Diocese of Owensboro will come to know Jesus in a personal way, grow in maturity as a disciple, and be sent forth joyfully to employ our gifts to make present the reign of God. So that drives us as a committee, as a diocese to say, this is where we want to go. We want people, we don't want, like Sherry Waddell says in her book, that the majority of adult Catholics do not believe that they can have a real relationship with God. We don't want that to be the case in our diocese. So we want people to recognize that a personal relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus is real and necessary for discipleship. And then our mission is to foster these encounters with Jesus that transform people into missionary disciples through prayer, teaching, and outreach. So these are the things driving us as an office. I think, you know, this office was developed 3 years ago. These annual events, this is the fourth annual event from the diocese. I think great things, God has great things in store. The Holy Spirit has been leading us to this point. I think Marcel really helped us to remember the essence of what it means to live as missionary disciples and challenged us to recognize how we're doing it as individuals, how we're doing it as a staff. And now I think the next step is to really help our parishes learn what this is and see how important it is in their lives, that this is the core of what it means to be Catholic. So I hope you're as excited as I am about the future. We're not to the end of something. I think we're to a new beginning, a beginning where, as leaders, we've all heard this now for a few years. We've been challenged by it. Have we implemented the key pieces of it? Are we systematizing it into our parish structure so that we're praying together, we're supporting one another, we're modeling discipleship for our parishes? I think we're there. So now the question is, how do we begin to share this in our parishes? And some are already doing great jobs with it. We'll look to them to see their example. And others are saying, what's the first step? So we're here to support you in that. And another goal that we have is to not let these annual events go away. We know how important these are, and we're working on and hoping this next year, 2021, to have an event where we'll all gather again. And maybe it will be a broader purpose. Excited that you were here to share this day, and just thankful to the Lord and to all the people that make something like this happen. To all the people in the diocesan offices who help promote, organize, and transition this to a Zoom event, we're grateful. Special thanks to Bishop Medley, Deacon Chris, Susan, for their leadership and time today, and to each of you for making time to participate, to pray with us and learn with us today. Finally, I do want to thank Charlie Hardesty for hosting the Zoom webinar and for Danny May for monitoring the chat box. Both of these guys have been a huge support for me personally, and their leadership in the diocesan office is much appreciated. So let's close in prayer and just thank the Lord for the gift of this time and ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we move forward to really live out the challenge that we've been given today to be disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we do thank you for the gift of this moment, for the fact that you are with us, that you love us, that we are your sons and daughters, and that is our greatest identity. We ask you, Lord, to help us to grow in that identity and to be, as our 78 parishes and as a diocese, all pulling together to live the mission that you've given us, to share your love and to draw people to you. We ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here today and on our parishes. And we just thank you for helping this all run smoothly today and for your encouragement as we move forward. And we offer this prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thanks again, everybody, for sharing this day with us. And the resources will be available. The recording will be sent out as we get it together. That resource booklet is on the website, so access that. Even if you just print off just the individual disciple evaluation or reflection page and fill that out yourself and just look at where you are and take a step forward, and we'll all do that together. Thanks again for being here. Have a great day.